So if you are using it, and again, if a doc in practice is using it, what would you recommend in terms of TLS prevention? Dan was telling me that they put the patients in the trial in the hospital. They treated them kind of like a high-risk situation. What are you doing?
We do the same thing. So there's two things to be aware with this combination. One is TLS, and we do the same thing. We admit the patients to the hospital on trial or outside of a trial. We admit them to the hospital. Oh, that's for cycle one only, by the way. So we admit them to the hospital, and we do a quick escalation of the dose of the venetoclax. So we start a little bit lower, and then you escalate over the course of 2 or 3 days, 4 days, something like that, depending on how high you go on the dose. And of course, all of that comes with good hydration and allopurinol and, all of these, carefully monitoring electrolytes, all that stuff. So if you do that, I think serious manifestations of tumor lysis are extraordinarily rare. The other problem is there is more prolonged myelosuppression. Definitely, the recovery takes longer than just the 4 weeks. So you need to be aware of that and continue prophylactic antimicrobials. Every patient should receive prophylactic antimicrobials to try to protect them from infections. Monitor the blood counts at least twice a week because patients will be requiring transfusions. And again, you're using these mostly in older patients. So educate them so that if they get a fever, they go to the emergency room right away and that kind of thing because it is more myelosuppressive, no question.
Being in this position, talking to investigators from every part of oncology every day, sometimes it's kind of hard to get a real feel for what things mean. But, when you consider the fact that right now a lot of these people aren't being treated, and now you have a promising therapy, yes, we need more data. It's very difficult for a general oncologist to really know, what does this really mean? What am I really offering to my patients? Any other thoughts about this and kind of how you see it playing out over the next year or two?
Yeah, well, I think that the drug will be approved for AML in the near future. I think within a year, I expect it to be available, approved. So that makes it easier in terms of the prescribing and the access. Number two, there is growing literature on the trials and all these things, which is in this context, I think it's good for everybody to read the methods, not so much the results. The results are good, but in the methods, you can get a little bit of these, how do you administer and all of that. And I think it'll be wise for an oncologist to just call somebody who's had experience. If the patient cannot go to a center, at least call somebody to say, hey, how do you do it? How do you escalate the dose? Tell me a little bit about these, because sometimes those details are not as clear, even if you read the methods in the manuscript. And a little bit of a tweak here and a little bit of knowing some of these minor details and the tricks that we use, that can make a big difference on helping you do it. But I do think, other than the two issues that I mentioned, the TLS and the myelosuppression, it's very well tolerated. I mean, really, you don't see much in terms of GI or other toxicities. You certainly will have the need for transfusions, but you have that with AML, even if you give them just supportive care anyway. So, of course, you need to make sure that you have the proper arrangement so that the patients can get transfusions. But, other than that, I think that it is a treatment that is actually very suitable for the community oncologist and even in smaller places, smaller towns that may not be. Again, I guess the key factor here is that you have a blood bank that will support the patients. That's the main thing.